Skull and Everett present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Everett.
And I'm Sickle, and we are Sickle and Everett, and we are the Unhallowed Reviewers. And we're going to jump into this week's podcast on the eve of Denver Pop Culture Con. You know what? We actually didn't set this aside to talk about, but now that I just mentioned it, I really think that San Diego Comic-Con can suck a big fat one for
suing people over the name, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you got to put this power move when everybody already knows that you're the top dog. Like, nobody's ever gotten in your way, and you still had to, like, make a power move. I thought it was a real messed up move.
Company, because, like, the company that runs San Diego Comic-Con runs, like, New York Comic-Con and a few others, I thought. Maybe not. That might be a lie, but because, like, some of them are still going to be able to be called Comic-Cons. It's just, like, if you're not part of that upper echelon group of Comic-Cons, then you don't get to call yourself a Comic-Con.
It just, yeah, but I just think that's dumb, because they're not, that those people that are going to the smaller Comic-Cons, it's because they can't afford to go to a bigger one.
Yeah.
So they're going to a local one. Mm-hmm. So you weren't going to get their business anyway, one. And two, they all know that you exist. They know that you're the big dog, and all you're doing is just stepping on the little guy, and I hate it. And I don't really care about the excuse. I think it's dumb.
So you should go to Denver Pop Culture Con this weekend if you have a chance, because it's usually
pretty
cool.
Heck yeah.
And there's tons of fun stuff there. And if you're in Denver, it's a great con to go to. They did change it this year. There's, like, a whole bunch of different stuff happening. It looks like there's a lot of changes. So if you have gone before, I mean, maybe it's a good time to check it out again if you haven't liked it before.
Yeah, and we don't, at Sickle and Ifrit, we don't make as big of a deal for it, because there isn't usually a lot of specific horror stuff like there is with Telluride, but we do always post a cover article for the event, and so you can check that out this weekend or Monday.
Huzzah!
Huzzah!
But on to the horror.
Yes.
So, Dalton and I... Actually, let's talk about... I don't know what we're going to talk about. Let's talk about The Perfection, because I want to talk about The Perfection.
I think we could talk about The Perfection for half an hour.
Let's talk about it as long as we feel comfortable.
Yeah.
So, there will probably be spoilers for The Perfection, so if you haven't seen it yet, go check it out. Like, just stop looking. Go check it out.
Oh, yes. Yeah, like, we, of course, don't want you to turn us off, but maybe go watch it and then turn us back on. But I feel like talking about it at all will ruin it. Like, anybody I've told about it, I've said, I'm not going to tell you anything about it. Don't watch a trailer. Go in blind and just sit back and absorb.
I actually thought the trailer didn't do a bad job of spoiling it.
I didn't watch the trailer, so I couldn't tell you.
I did, and it actually kind of made me want to watch it a little more, because the trailer... So this is where the spoilers get in, so another few second pause. Don't listen anymore. But the trailers only cover about the first, like, maybe one-third of the movie. And the rest of it, you're, like, completely, like, what the hell's going on in this movie? And so, the trailer makes it kind of seem like it's semi-supernatural, because at one point, the lady looks like she has, like, worms coming out of her arm, and is, like, getting infected by this, like, bug virus thing, which was a total awesome way to sell the trailer, because it totally pulled me in.
Yeah, that whole scene, like... It took me a minute, I'll be honest, it took me a minute after it was over for me to get over my disappointment, because me being the monster creature person that I am, when I was like, oh, is this going to be like this crazy 90-degree turn where you think it's about this, but then it becomes about like this like crazy parasite, mm-hmm. and then like it just flips on its head and does that. But then when it like reversed all that scenario, I was like, oh, that sucks, but oh wow, this is still really cool. And like, it takes, because it's there are just so many great things about it. Like, it's so unique in its storytelling. The story is unique, the way they tell the story is unique. They manage to keep the pacing quick, but none of it feels choppy. It also doesn't ever feel like it's dragging. No scene lasts too long, no scene is, mm-hmm. scene is too fast. It's, I don't know.
It takes place in nice chunks too, so like, you have the first chunk of the movie, which is everything up to the main character going and meeting her teacher's new protege, and them falling, you know, kind of in love, and going where they go, and they're in China, so they go off and do stuff. And then, like, that ends in some kind of horrible stuff happening to the protege, and then it kind of cuts forward 3 weeks, I think, and then you start seeing the teachers, and it's following, like, the teachers and stuff, and what they are doing, and then the protege magically returns, and then things happen between the teacher and the protege that lead her, the protege, to go find the original student, which is the main character, I think, in the movie, and then it kind of cuts again, and there's stuff happening. And then there's these, like, kind of gimmicks that they do, and the last act is, of course, the resolution, and I don't want to talk too much about that right now, but there's this thing that they do in the movie where they play through, and then they fast forward it to a point, right? And rewind at first, it. I thought that... Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah, rewind it. Yeah. At first, I thought that was kind of cheesy, but then I actually really ended up liking it. And I was wanting it to happen again.
Yeah, you're, like, after the first time it does it, you're waiting for it to... You're like, I know it's coming again. So, you know, especially towards the end, you're like, okay, something's going to happen. This is going to get rewound, and we're going to... It's either a setup or, you know, whatever. So, like you said, we won't go that far in the spoilers, but it was very good.
And I would say it escalates very well. So the first act is, like, very psychological. The second act is just kind of starts to get really creepy, I think. And the third act is kind of violent. It's, like, pretty heavily violent.
Yeah, it gets crazy.
Yeah, and the kind of stuff that happens in it will make you uncomfortable. Even as a demon, I was kind of like, whoa!
Yeah, and the way it was filmed and everything, it's so unusual, and I think it took a lot of courage to carry that story and to film it the way that they filmed it,
mm-hmm.
and it worked. And that sometimes you look at movies like this and you're like, well, they tried, and I commend them for trying, but, like, they tried and actually pulled it off.
Weirdly enough, this guy, Richard Shepherd is the guy who directed it, and he also directed one of my least favorite episodes of the one that made me stop watching the new Twilight Zone, which was the Wunderkind episode, which is basically just a pull on Trump, and hasn't done, like, a ton of horror as far as I can tell. He did a few episodes of Criminal Minds, 30 Rock, but a lot of stuff, this is kind of like a really big, to me this is a really big thing for him, because it was pretty cool.
yeah, he did a good job.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, check out the Perfection, actually out now, not like our fake release announcement that happened for the Perfection a while ago.
Oh, that sucked. I know. Yeah, that was lame.
Let's talk about
Netflix.
Some movies.
Netflix. If we didn't say that.
Yeah, Netflix. Sorry. Let's talk about some movies I saw, and maybe we can talk about movies that we've seen lately. I've been kind of like stuck in the past. I haven't really watched a lot of new things, except for What We Do in the Shadows, which is still good. So. If you aren't watching that yet, you should watch that. But also remember, if you buy a subscription to a show on Amazon that's still going, make sure you go back and check and make sure that episode that you thought was the end of the season wasn't the end. Because then you have more content to watch, and it's really good. So What We Do in the Shadows, I think, is still going or just finished. But yeah, it's pretty good. And so if you like the original one, I still say go watch What We Do in the Shadows. But I've been stuck in the past as far as catching up on movies that Ifrit has already seen. I'm Ifrit. I'm catching up on movies that I've already seen. I actually do that a lot, but I just saw The Babysitter, which is a Netflix movie that came out a while ago. I don't know if it was exclusive to Netflix, but
I think it was, yes.
Super awesome movie. Like, the synopsis, I don't think, does it justice in terms of what you're going to get. Because what you get in that movie is... I don't know. It's kind of like... I think maybe the reason I kind of liked it so much is because it was like a Fright Night Monster Squad movie, but it was way more adult.
And based in reality. Firmly in reality.
I guess. I mean, they're trying to do stuff with the devil, which, depending on your... You know. I don't believe in the devil, but he's outside my door every day. I mean, he just doesn't, like, you know, he's a figurehead. Nobody sees him. But yeah, they're trying to like do stuff with the devil, and they need like blood and from the little kid who they're babysitting, or the girl's babysitting, and it just turns out in this crazy, crazy series of events happens, and this kid ends up growing up, and I actually like felt for the kid. I was like, this is a really cool way to watch this kid grow and learn stuff in a really messed up way.
And go into it knowing horror comedy.
Definitely.
A lot of dark humor in it.
Oh yeah.
It's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah, so if you hadn't already seen The Babysitter on Netflix, go watch it.
Now, what's this thing that you threw in our notes here at the last minute?
I watched a movie before we started recording tonight, and it was called Scarecrow on Netflix. I was looking for stuff, on Amazon Prime. I was looking for stuff, and I haven't really been hitting a lot of movies that I'm like willing to put the time into, because I just keep seeing stuff that makes me just not want to watch it, I guess, if that makes sense. In a weird way. So I saw this movie called Scarecrow, and it's a 2003 movie. It's done by Sheldon Wilson, and it has Lacey Cutbirth in it, and that's kind of what got me to watch it.
Wink, nudge, nudge.
Was that there's somebody from a series that I like, which is Mean Girls, because if every demon likes Mean Girls, right? I mean, that's just how it works.
Yep.
No, what are you implying here?
Oh, nothing.
I feel like you're implying something. Like,
oh, nothing at all.
But it's about
no
this
other reason
group
to want
of
to
kids,
watch Cuthbert.
A light, lazy Cuthbert. It's about these kids that basically get sent to detention, and they have to go like help out on this farm, and it's super cheesy, but it actually has some like not completely terrible CG in it, and the like movie wasn't hard to watch, but it wasn't good, you know, like if you need some, and it's only, to be fair, it's only 86 minutes long, so it's not like you're investing a ton of time in this movie. And so I don't know, I think it's on my list of like horror movies to watch when you don't really, when you're like stuff when you're watching like a Halloween marathon and you just need some filler, like this movie goes straight into there. Because it has a pretty cool creature in it. The Scarecrow like basically is awakened on the 26th of October because like you're supposed to bury it during the fall, and if you don't bury it, it comes out and just starts killing everybody. And what happens is these two teenagers, of course, get basically, they break through this farm floor and they one of them starts bleeding and the blood awakens the creature. And it starts just killing everyone, which is pretty cool and theme on its own right. But the way that they did the Scarecrow is pretty cool. It's creepy. It's like they knew how far not to go with the CG to make it dumb, right?
Yeah, I feel like there are a handful of creatures out there, horror creatures, that just shouldn't require much CG. And I feel like a scarecrow would be one of them. Like, it wouldn't be that hard to work around that.
Well, I'm not trying to... Yeah, I was expecting more practical effects than there wasn't. There's, like, two practical effects scenes in this whole movie, and they're not something to write home about. It's just they show a lot of the creature, and the action gets into it right off the bat. And the scarecrow isn't really, like, a scarecrow as much as it's just, like, living kind of tree thing.
Oh, interesting.
And so it's, like, they'd use the CG, because it's this, like, black root creature with a face that feeds off of like blood. Yeah, I mean, I think it's worth watching, but I wouldn't say it's like the best movie on any platform. But it's like, it's kind of interesting. I mean, they don't hold anything back either. Like, they basically kill everybody in the movie.
Oh wow! Awesome.
And except for like one person, I think, who survives at the end. And you're like, okay, cool. They finally got to a point where they're like safe, and you're like, nope, psych. Like, psych, psych, psych. It just keeps happening over and over again. And I don't know. It was just kind of fun to watch a dumb movie. We get into so much stuff that's, like, pretty serious and heavy and meaningful that sometimes taking a break with stupid movies like The Scarecrow is nice.
Yeah, I mean, like, sometimes a little bit of just, like, brain-dead fun, below average, it's worth it.
Yeah.
Just have something.
So let's talk about a film that you saw recently that I haven't seen yet, but I had Sickle spoil it for me because I wanted to be able to talk about it.
Yes, we. I saw Brightburn this last weekend, and I decided just because it was a theatrical release that I would review that before I reviewed The Perfection. But either way, we both able to get both reviews in the last few days, and Brightburn, I thought, was a pretty good horror movie. It definitely felt to me like a horror movie first, even with its like subversive superhero undertones, particularly. I don't know if I'd call it satirizing, but
definitely
just
commenting
kind of flipping. Yes, flipping Superman's origins on its head.
You know, that's a good point, because I kind of keep trying to force myself into this, like, superhero movie commentary mindset, and I actually don't like a lot of those genres when I watch them. The only one that I've ever liked is The Tick. So, like, I think I should approach this movie more as a horror film and less as a, you know, superhero commentary. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that from this point forward.
And I think that's a great way to approach it, because I don't think that really even that's... To me, that wasn't what this film communicated anyways. I feel like it was just like, what if Superman was evil? And then it doesn't say, like... And then it doesn't go any further in any commentary on Superman. It just takes his origin and turns the Superman into a murderer. Like, that's really what it does.
It's a horror movie. A serial killer. Which his origins seem very familiar. Let's say that.
Very familiar. And then it just takes just a couple of little tweaks and... you get Superman the Serial Killer, and it was a lot of fun. I thought that it wasn't... I mean, it was by no means perfect. It wasn't the perfection.
It was terrible. I want to stop.
But it was a lot of fun. I'd watch it again. I think it's definitely kind of a good, like, horror popcorn flick.
That's cool.
And... you can just, like, sit down and enjoy it, and, like, it's not gonna, like, blow your mind. The script isn't, like, some incredible piece of work, but, like, it's got some great scenes in it. It really makes him into, like, this horror icon, this, like, essential, like, dark force. Mm-hmm. But doesn't, like, try to blow you away with anything. Like, everything is... it's more than... it's about what I expected, but in a good way.
It sounds like that's kind of the theme for today, is just, like, movies that you can watch without having to overthink. Because even The Perfection, you could just watch. And because it explains most of itself.
Just sit back and absorb it.
But that's kind of interesting, because you mentioned that Brightburn has a lot of good, like, kill scenes in it, and that's kind of cool, right?
It does, yeah. Okay. It's got, I mean, it's not going to, like, it's not like some, you know, 20-kill-long montage or anything. But, like, it sets him up and lays him down, and I liked it. I liked the way they approached it.
But there was also that scene at the end with Michael Rooker, right?
Yes. Yeah, Michael Rooker has this, like, cameo at the very end that's kind of like a post-credits stinger, but it's not, like, all the way at the end of the credits. And it's super goofy, and you can't tell if it's a joke or if they're actually trying to build some kind of, like, horror superhero franchise universe thing. It's kind of hard to tell. My guess is that it's a joke, and that Rooker, you know, because he's buddy-buddy with James Gunn and the Gunn family.
That's right.
And they just threw him in there just because, like, well, he didn't have a cameo, so here, let's just have him film this at his house, and he'll shoot it over to us. And it was fun, and it was a great way to end the movie, because, like, it... ends on a pretty dark note, and so to have this kind of, like, fun little light thing as this, like, really, like, goofy music plays after that, like, it was a great way to end it. It was very James Gunn.
So do you think people should go see it?
I mean, theaters, I'm a theater guy. Like,
go
I don't
to a matinee,
care.
Or do you go pay full price?
I don't,
You're
that's
literally...
tough.
Spending people's money right now, so you better make
I know, right? See, there's, like, so much pressure. But I guess, I think it just depends on how you view movies. Like, I'll see almost anything in the theater and enjoy it and not feel like I wasted my money. And this movie definitely falls into that category.
Okay.
Where I would, like, if... like, I guess if we said it this way, I mean, you know, full disclosure, I have a movie subscription with AMC, so it doesn't technically cost me money. No, we're not. It does not cost any money for me to go like, movie to movie. It's just a monthly thing. So, like, if somebody next week was like, hey, do you want to go see Brightburn? I really wanted to see it. I'd totally go. Like, I'd go see it again in theaters. Why not?
Yeah, that's a good point. So, anything else you want to say about Brightburn? Because I have a weird late segue.
No, it was good.
Okay. So, that scene at the end of Brightburn kind of implied that, or was trying to imply, or maybe was joking about, a potential, like, universe surrounding this movie. And yes. One of the new segments that Sickle wanted to bring up was, like, a Reddit-inspired discussion question kind of thing, because Sickle has taken his serial killing and toned it down a lot, and now he's on Reddit, apparently, almost all the time, like 90% of his day. And on Reddit, someone suggested that it would be cool to see the two tech managers from Cabin in the Woods get their own kind of spin-off R-rated show.
Yeah, the characters played by Richard Jenkins and Bradley Whitford.
Yeah.
If that helps.
The two people in the control room, if you're not sure who they were talking about. But that's kind of, like, related, because there's this whole universe in Cabin in the Woods that doesn't get explored at all. And it would be so cool to see a spinoff. And so, kind of, like, what spinoff would work best, right?
Yeah, and, like, the original the poster's idea was to, like, follow those two guys around as they, like, captured all of the creatures that the Titans, like, you know, were in charge of or whatever, and, like, released upon the world. And, like, they're capturing them all for this ritual. And I thought, oh, that'd be cool. Like, that sounds like a good idea. Anything to have a Monster of the Week
type show. I don't think they would show, be like, capturing them, come back. Though, right? Like, they never captured them.
Yeah, I think that the way that I pictured it in my head, it was, like, you know, before they're, quote-unquote, promoted to the control room.
Okay.
So maybe not even use the same actors, maybe use younger actors representing those two characters before they, you know, they're trying to work their way up.
I like the second suggestion.
Me too. The second idea, or this other guy was like, well, what if they did this instead? And it was, what if you basically just took the movie Cabin in the Woods and turned it into an episodic show,
Monster,
like an
the
anthology
week
series.
Film, yeah.
Yeah, where just every week the new sacrificed teens you know, unwittingly pick a new fate. So, like, one week they're killed by the merman, and, like, the next week it's zombies, and the next week it's a werewolf. And, like, you get to experience all of the different creatures and things that that people can come up with creatively to you know, follow the ritual, but then also to work in congruence with that, you have the serialized side of things by following the people in the control room.
Yeah, I was
going to
say
the office.
You have, like, an overarching plots that involve the factory or the warehouse or whatever, you know.
Yeah, and I feel like that would be a really good balance of, like, where you'd want people to tune in every week to see, like, oh, but I was really interested in this office manager character, and, like, you know, it seemed like they knew something that nobody else knew or something like that. But then, like, you still get the Monster of the Week thing, and you get a new group of goofy people and, you know, new gruesome kills and new gruesome monsters and stuff. And, like, so you can get kind of the best of both worlds. And I don't know. I thought that would be pretty cool, because I was afraid that that first version would be too much of, like, a Supernatural or X-Files clone.
Yeah,
it would end up heading in that direction.
Too. And, like, the second one, you have the benefit of, like, having season finales and things like that being, like, people who almost did the same thing that the movie did, or something happening in the facility, and the people in the cabins become second fiddle to, like, something happening overarching. You could have, like, maybe other entities that are trying to, need sacrifices, or other entities that are similar to the main god coming in and trying to fudge with shit, you know? There's so much cool stuff you could build into that universe, because it just facilitates so many different inlets of input as far as what can happen. Because it's so loose and open right now that you can just add stuff and it won't really affect much.
Yeah, it would be, you know, we can all dream. Now, something like this probably is very unlikely to happen, especially if it were related to Cabin in the Woods in some form or fashion. Mm-hmm. But we can dream.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be cool with Brightburn, too, to see, like, a whole universe of, like, so, like, James Gunn is now associated with the DC Universe via Suicide Squad, and it'd be really interesting to see another James Gunn produced movie like live as an alternate universe in DC, because DC is huge on multiverses, right? Like, this could just be a multiverse of like the normal Superman universe, and like all the other things Michael Rooker's talking about at the end are just different heroes or alternate versions of existing like heroes that are now bad. It's like, this is like the darkest timeline, if you will.
Yeah, and then like, and it could totally work in some sense, because like, for example, the Brightburn character is essentially like brainwashed sort of by the ship, spoilers, to like telling this kid like, the world is yours, take it. Mm-hmm. And so like, he would fight anything else that was competing with him. So
right, like a Yeti, he wouldn't be a or hero. Like an Aquaman style character or something, right?
Yeah, so he's not doing it to protect anybody, but he thinks, from his perspective, it's like, this is my planet, I'm taking it. So, like, anything that got in his way, you'd be able to have those, like, epic fights or anything. Mm-hmm. But it would still be from a dark perspective.
Yeah, and I mean, we see a lot
motive,
of...
Motive, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of things now, too, that you could move this movie to, like, Netflix or something like that and have them make a series of it, you know?
Yeah, totally. Like either one of those things would work. I feel like it would have to be like a premium channel or streaming service type thing where they don't have the restrictions.
Yeah, definitely. That has me set on a tangent though, actually. I want to talk about something sorry, that's not currently on the sheet, but two things that are cool. You cool with that?
Oh, go for it.
One of them is that Good Omens comes out today. So if you haven't if you're interested in Good Omens at all, watch it. I think I'm probably going to end up watching that over the
weekend.
Amazon
Prime.
Yeah, Amazon Prime. So if you're into that at all, it already looks cool, and I think it's going to be very interesting, so check it out. The other is that, this isn't directly horror-related, but it's pretty freaking cool. The trailer for the new Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance, or Age of Rebellion, came out from the Netflix show, The Dark Crystal. So The Dark Crystal is an old Jim Henson movie, with Skeksis and all these races and these other main character elf-like creatures that are trying to save the world, and it's actually like Labyrinth. It's like really cool, but it's a lot darker than Labyrinth, because these Skeksis like are really messed up psychotic bird creatures, and they're kind of freaky looking. But Netflix is making an entire series with the same like puppetry. It's got puppetry with CG style animation and set in the same universe. So that's pretty sweet as far as like new things coming out. You know, we have Good Omens and we have The Dark Crystal.
Yeah, and like that thing has always been a staple for a lot of horror fans as kids. Like that was kind of horror that was taken seriously for kids. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways. A lot of people I've heard, they were like, I really liked that movie when I was little, but you know, various things really freaked me out about it. And it got under my skin, but I still wanted to watch it. And I'm like, right. That's a horror. Like, that's horror. So
yeah,
it's
that's like
it's
that's horror.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just want to talk about those, because Good Omens is going to be awesome, and I think the Dark Crystal show is going to be pretty good based off of the trailer.
Yeah. One of the last things we wanted to talk about was there were very vague and probably untrue speculation and rumors that emerged that Ridley Scott might be trying to finish out the Prometheus / Alien Covenant / David trilogy of Alien.
/ Michael Fassbender / Xenomorph /
the stuff.
Not Neil McBride.
/ Neomorph. and they...
/ Predator. / Fox / Disney.
Oh, jeez. But, there was a lot of, like, concern over the health of the Alien franchise because of the Fox-Disney merger, and Disney is less inclined to do R-rated material.
I thought that was the whole thing, is that they weren't going to mess with that.
So, it was definitely clear, I think, that they were more inclined to assist or allow the continuation of franchises that were successful, such as, like, Deadpool, and things like that, but there may have been a little bit more gray area in areas where it felt like there wasn't as much cash.
Well, then they need to let those franchises go, because Predator and Alien movies need to keep getting made.
Yes, I agree. Because, like, I feel like just because some of the movies have failed there's a lot in that universe to touch on, and somebody just needs to treat it right. Somebody just needs to baby it a little bit, TLC. And give it some love.
Yeah.
And I personally, like, I don't even care if it's bad. I really want to see the conclusion to the trilogy. And, like, it just really bothers me. It would just really bother me, and I can't imagine that it wouldn't be tearing Ridley Scott apart inside to just be, like, having David's, like, comeuppance and David's, like, eventual resolution and conclusion, not having that. Like, it kills me. Like, I have to know what happens, and I don't care if it's low budget. I don't really care if it ends up sucking.
What if it was, like, an audio drama?
That's rough for me. Like, I don't think that I have a hard time picturing that, but I would be okay with, even if it was just, like, something where Ridley Scott was like, can we just do this in my garage really quick, Fassbender? Like, here's $2 million, let's just, like, do a 10-minute short really quick, and I'll throw a bunch of CG of my own money in the background. I'd be okay with that. Like, if it just ended up being, like, the aliens take over the ship that he's currently on after he did a bunch of tests, and they want to kill him, and he's like, oh, crap, and it's just that. I would be okay with that. I just need an ending. I can't just... It bothers me. It's just...
Well, sometimes we there's don't a possibility get of it
just getting... Well, I want endings.
If we all got endings, then Patrick Rothfuss would finish the Name of the Wind books of the Kingkiller Chronicles, and he hasn't
done that yet. We should just cut off the audio mid-sentence, and then we just end it.
No, wait. Alright, thanks for listening, everyone. That's it for this day in horror, this hour in horror, this week in horror.
This week?
Yeah.
It's a week.
If you liked what we talked about, let us know. If you didn't like what we talked about, still let us know, even though it's going to hurt us on the inside. But,
real bad.
We'll see you next time, and have a good week.
Or a
horrible week.
Ooh, horrible week.